Why do people get into sin? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Do you know why people get into sin? They're hungry. They're lonely. They're distraught. They're not satisfied. They're looking here. They're looking there. Perhaps it's here. Perhaps it's there. I'm missing something. I want something. I am not satisfied. You will never be satisfied. You will go from pornography to covetousness to brutality to arguments to whatever until you find your peace in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the insightful biblical teaching of pastor and author Adrian Rogers. Satan wages war against the family because the family is all we have left of the Garden of Eden. We are called to battle, to guard our hearts and protect our homes. In part one of today's message, Preparing for the Battle, we learned about our adversary, as well as the armor of God found in Ephesians chapter 6. But we must also remember our point of attack and our allies. What are they? If you have your Bible, turn now to Ephesians chapter 5 as Adrian Rogers offers wise counsel in part two of Preparing for the Battle.
We've talked about the Christian and his adversary. Let's talk about the Christian warrior and his armor. You need, when you go into battle, to take the whole armor and to take holy armor. Now, what is the armor that you're going to wear if you're going to overcome the devil in this matter of salacious literature, pornography? The first piece that you need to put on is the girdle or the belt of truth, and that speaks of your integrity. Do you have on that belt of truth? Now, the people in Ephesus were able to go to war and win the war because they had the belt of truth. But that's only one piece of the armor. Now, not only do you need integrity, but you need the breastplate of righteousness, which is the believer's purity. Look again in this scripture. He says here, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," verse 14, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Second question I want to ask you tonight. Do you want to win this war? Do you have on the breastplate of righteousness? I mean by that, not only integrity, but purity. Do you? Is there in your heart tonight any unconfessed, unrepented sin? Any? You say, "Good night, Adrian. You mean you just expect me to give up everything?" I want to tell you, who would not give up dirt for diamonds? Who would not give up hog's wheel for nectar? Now, next, I want you to look at the next piece of armor that you're to have. Look, if you will, in verse 15, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, a soldier in this day, not only did he have a leather belt, not only did he have a breastplate to cover his chest and vital organs, but he had boots. Hobnail boots, where a soldier would have cleats, spikes on the shoes. Those shoes would be thick enough to help him on rocky soil where he might be bruised or he might slip to get his feet into the turf so he can stand and fight. What is it that gives you standing? It is the gospel of peace. Now, what is the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace is knowing there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. That I'm His. He is mine. He satisfies me. I am at peace with God. Now, if the belt is integrity and the breastplate is purity, the shoes are tranquility. Tranquility. At peace. Do you know why people get into sin? They're hungry. They're lonely. They're distraught. They're not satisfied. They're looking here. They're looking there. Perhaps it's here. Perhaps it's there. I'm missing something. I want something. I am not satisfied. Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for. By sin undermined, I have the secret. I know where it is found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Your heart will never rest until it rests in Jesus. You will never be satisfied. You will go from pornography to covetousness to brutality to arguments to whatever, until you find your peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, the next piece of armor is a shield. Look, if you will, here when he talks about the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. A soldier of this day had a shield. It was about 2 feet wide, about 4 feet long. It was either covered with metal or leather, and he would put it obviously out in front of him. It would be strapped to his arm as he would fight. Because in this day they would fight not only with arrows, but flaming arrows, fiery darts. And that shield is there to ward them off. Well, what kind of a shield is it? It's the shield of faith. Faith is to you a shield. Faith is what keeps the devil's fiery darts of insinuation and lust from getting through to you. I call it the believer's certainty, as over against doubt. It's a believer's certainty. You see, I'm dressing up. I put on integrity. I put on purity. I put on tranquility. I take certainty. That's the reason I told you to begin with in the first of these lessons, that when you talk to your teens about living a pure life, or when you try to live a pure life, you had better get it plain in your heart that there is a fixed standard of right and wrong, because everybody else is doing it. And if you try to say to your kids, now look, don't do this, and they say, why, Dad? They say, well, I just don't think it's a good idea. That's not enough. Dad doesn't want you to do it. That's not enough. Dad doesn't do it. That's not enough. Because I said so, that's not enough. Not in today's world anymore. You're going to have to get your boys and girls, your children, your grandchildren, and your own heart settle that this book is the Word of God. Now, you know, I've heard people say just the opposite. I've heard people say now, it's not enough to tell kids God said so. You've got to show them why. That is so wrong. No. The only way that you're going to have any real success is to get your kids to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And boy, once they believe that, you can just do wonders. You can say, look, here's what God says. Yeah, I mean, if you can just prove it, just take the Bible and say, look, son, look, daughter, here's what God says. Take this book as the shield of faith. It's the Bible that inculcates faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in the battle, we're going to have to get our children so locked on the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. That's the reason there is such a battle against the Bible. The very first thing in the Garden of Eden was an insinuation against the Word of God. And I will tell you something. It's part of the wiles of the devil. It's continuing today. It's in the universities today. And any man, I don't care who he is, I don't care how many letters he has after his name, how many degrees he has, I don't care what pulpit he occupies, if he causes doubt concerning the Word of God, he's doing the work of the devil. He's doing the work of the devil. You've got to have certainty. The thing that keeps me going is not how I feel. I've told you before, I'm not a very emotional person. I'm more emotional when I preach than probably any other time. I don't get real high, I don't get real low. I stay in a narrow band. I don't take credit for that, it's the way I'm wired. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but it's who I am. I'd be that way probably if I were not saved. I don't go up and down all the time. It's just my psychological profile. That's who I am. The thing that keeps me going is not how I feel, it is what I know. It's what I know. My faith is rooted in the Word of God. And that gives me stability. It'll give you stability. And you need, look, you need integrity. You need purity. You need tranquility. And you need certainty. When Satan comes with his fiery darts, you can overcome Satan with the Word of God. Now, you take the shield of faith. That is the believer's certainty. And then next, you take the helmet of salvation. Look in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation Because as you've seen the pictures of the soldiers of that day, they're wearing a helmet. Now, of course, they decorate the helmet with that red plume and all of that. But the helmet is there to protect the head. And the head, of course, is what directs the whole body. And so you take the helmet of salvation. The word salvation is sozo. It means literally deliverance. He's not just talking about getting saved. He's talking about keeping your mind protected so that you can have deliverance. And what does this speak of? It speaks of the believer's sanity or the believer's liberty, either one. You see, look, a person who is into pornography is devil-controlled. And a person who is devil-controlled is not in his right mind. In Mark chapter 5, there was a man who was demon-possessed. Jesus cast the devil out of him, and they come back and find him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Before this, he was given to nudity. His mind was under control of the evil one. Now, you need to put on everyday sanity. What I mean is, you need to have your mind under the blood. You need to have your mind renewed. So let's just look at all of these things that God wants you to have. Integrity, purity, tranquility, certainty, sanity. That's what you put on. Sometimes in the morning, I just wake up and take this as a checklist. And I'll say, do I have on the belt of truth? Do I believe truth? Do I live truth? Do I tell truth? And then I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Is my heart pure? Do I have purity? Then I put on the shoes of peace. Am I at peace? Am I envying something that somebody else has? Is there resentment? Is there bitterness or loneliness that I'm not letting Jesus fill? Then I put on, take the shield of faith. Is there anything I'm doubting God about? Then put on the helmet of salvation. I feel like I used to feel when I dress up to play a game of football. Ready to go. Ready to go. Don't leave off any piece of the armor in this battle. Now, if you really think about it, each one of these pieces of armor is really the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is our faith. Jesus is our salvation. You're just putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's move to the third thing. We've talked about the Christian warrior and his adversary. We've talked about the Christian warrior and his armor. Let's talk about the Christian warrior and his attack. Yes, I said attack. Now, most of us have said, well, Satan, if you just leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But you can't do that. You can't be neutral. You are to be in the battle, and you are to win the war. There are three things that'll help you in this battle. And you're going to face the battle tonight, tomorrow, next week. Three things. First of all is your stance. Look, if you will, in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then skip down to verse 14. Stand, therefore. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Stand, therefore. Now, so many times, we're asking God to give us victory over Satan. I want to be very careful here. But stop asking God to give you victory over Satan. You have victory. You say, well, Pastor, if I have it, how come I don't have it? Satan is defeated. Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. God says, be strong in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, God, give me victory. Give me victory. God, help me. God says, Adrian, I have given you the victory. I have given you authority. I have given you my word. I have given you my truth. Now stand. I don't have to say, God, help me. Not when I'm fighting Satan. I can say, Satan, I stand in the name of Jesus against you. I have authority against you. You say, Pastor, that's awful arrogant, isn't it? No. No, because God has told me that I'm strong in the Lord. We need to stop asking God for what we already have and start using what we have. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God has given you authority. You can say, Satan, you and your filth and your lies and your attack and your temptations, no. Stand. Satan hopes you don't do that. Satan hopes that you go off somewhere again and say, oh, I need help, I need help, I need help. Friend, stand. I'm not saying not to pray. I'll talk about prayer in just a moment. You need prayer. But you don't need to ask God to give you victory over Satan. You have victory because you have the victor. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. First of all, there's the power of your stance. Then there's the power of your sword. Look in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when Satan came against Jesus when he was fasting and praying, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus overcome Satan? Well, you say, that was easy for Jesus. A big deal. Jesus is God. Jesus did not defeat Satan because Jesus is God. Jesus defeated Satan not as God, but as a man he defeated Satan. I mean, Jesus is my example. How could Jesus be my example if he overcome Satan by being God? He just pulled rank on me. I'm telling you that the weapons that were available to Jesus when Jesus was being tempted are the same weapons that are available to me, the sword of the Spirit and the Spirit who handles the sword. Now what happened is Satan came to tempt Jesus. He tempted Jesus. Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are. Not a sin to be tempted. And if you have temptations in the sexual way or pornography, doesn't mean you're wicked. If you're a man, it probably means you're normal. And you say, well, I can just look at all that stuff, Adrian. It doesn't bother me. Well, I wouldn't brag about it if I were you. Because it just proves you're no man, Superman, or a liar. Well, it'll bother you. I mean, that's where you're wired. It's not a sin to be tempted. That's humanity. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Why? Jesus went into that wilderness, the Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost, anointed with the Holy Spirit. And when the enemy came and tempted him, he took the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Did you know that Satan hopes you will not use this word? Now, actually, when the Bible says the sword of the Spirit here in Ephesians chapter 6, it's not the word logos. It is the word rhema. What does that mean? It means not the Bible in toto. That's not what Jesus used. Jesus used a rhema, a word from the Word. When Satan would come with his temptations to Jesus, Jesus pulled out the sword and said, ran him right through. Thus it is written, take that. Thus it is written, take that. Thus it is written, take that. I want you to learn some scripture. And when Satan comes, you can say, hey, Satan, take that. The Word of God. You see, look, there's the power of your stance. There's the power of your sword. And there's the power of your supplication. Now, that's the third thing. Look, if you will, in verse 18 of this same chapter. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. He said, Adrian, I thought you told me not to pray for power over Satan. That's what I told you. But I didn't tell you not to pray. The only way that you can stand, the only way that you can properly use the sword is to pray, because it's the sword of the Spirit. And if it's the sword of the Spirit, then you pray in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? It is letting the Holy Spirit energize your prayer, direct your prayer. Not praying in the flesh. Why do you pray in the Spirit? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the battle is a spiritual battle, so you pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray, the devil will beat you. You have all the authority in the world, but if you don't appropriate it through prayer, you're going down. So remember, I told you a little bit ago, I was almost hesitant to say what I had to say about telling you not to ask God to give you authority. I didn't say don't pray. It's in prayer that you appropriate what God has given you. Not to ask God to somehow defeat Satan. He is defeated. He is stripped, shamed, and subdued. Jesus has given you authority over Satan. Now here's the fourth and final thing, and it'll be very brief. I want you to notice the Christian warrior and his allies. Look again in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now watch this. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. And then he goes on down to say in verse 24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We don't fight alone. We need to pray for one another. Husbands need to pray for wives. Wives need to pray for husbands. Parents need to pray for children. Pastors need to pray for the congregation. The congregation needs to pray for the people. Folks, we're in a battle together, and it's a real battle, isn't it? It's a real battle. Let's hold one another up in prayer. Let's be encouraging one another. Listen, guard your heart. Protect your home.
We do not fight alone, and we so need each other's prayer support, don't we? If you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, we'd love to offer you an insightful resource on our website. It's the Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers that you may have about your faith, and there's a response section as well. You can share how this message has impacted you, leave a prayer request, and more. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. We can't wait to hear from you. Now, if you'd like to order a complete copy of today's message on CD, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, Preparing for the Battle. This lesson is also part of a powerful series, Guard Your Heart, Protect Your Home. For the complete collection, all four insightful messages, go to lwf.org/radio or call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can write us with your order at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for joining us for today's insightful message. As you prepare for this spiritual battle, remember your adversary, your armor, your attack, and your allies. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding.
The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you.
Because of his ability to state profound truth so simply, the wit and wisdom of Adrian Rogers has lived on in the hearts of many. In fact, here at Love Worth Finding, we coined the term Adrianisms for some of the most impactful nuggets of truth that he stated. And now we're excited to tell you about our new Adrianisms card set. Created with original art and lettering, each of the 52 cards includes an insightful Adrianism, as well as an accompanying scripture on the reverse side. These cards are perfect to display in your home or workspace, or share them with family or friends. For more information about the product, go to our online store at lwf.org. That's lwf.org. And thank you for your continued support of Love Worth Finding.